Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we are asking, as we always do, my guest on tonight is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who's filling in for Minister Benny Gaskin from Atlanta, Georgia, who's not able to be on the line with us tonight. So we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who is filling in for him on tonight. And we give God the glory and honor and praise even in advance. So I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord. Deacon Marvin Cox always shares with us an inspirational poem. He's going to do that on tonight as well. And he's going to go directly into God's word. So make sure you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along. about, before we came live on the air, I had asked Deacon Marvin Cox to do the opening prayer, but instead I'm going to go ahead and do the opening prayer myself. And while we are getting ready to go into prayer, I'm asking all the listeners, all those that know how powerful prayer is, we want to touch and agree and intercede on the behalf of all those people down in Surfside, Florida, that have lost loved ones due to the collapse of their condo over 2 weeks ago down in Florida. We are still finding bodies. We also want to pray for the family of the president of Haiti, who was assassinated day before yesterday. We want to continue to lift up his wife, who was wounded. They flew her down to Miami, Florida. She's still hospitalized. And the last report that I heard on the news today, so far she seems to be getting better, but we still want to lift that president's wife up in prayer. So we know that the prayers of the righteous still avail of much. So we're going to go into prayer right now because we know that God still hears and answers. We love him because he first loved us. So we're going to touch and agree in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again, your children, your saints, your vessels. We come touching and agreeing on one accord, knowing that you will hear our prayer. We, Heavenly Father, ask that you will forgive us first and foremost. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, Minister Elder Benny Gaskin, his entire family, and all saved believers all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace. We thank you for them in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we know that you are an awesome God, and that you're worthy to be praised. You are the Most High God. There is none like you in all the earth. We bless your name because we know that you're worthy to be praised, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through. You're worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, lifting up all those families, Heavenly Father, that has been affected by that collapse of the condo down in Surfside, Florida, those that have lost loved ones, those that have loved ones that are still missing. We pray, Lord, that you would intercede, that you would touch their hearts, their minds, and their spirits, Heavenly Father. And not only them, we lift up the family of the president of Haiti, who was assassinated on the other day. We lift up his wife, who's hospitalized in Florida right now. Not only them, but all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. And also comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved on tonight all over the land in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your grace and your mercy. We can't thank you enough for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. He paid a debt that he did not owe, but he paid the debt because he knew we was not able to pay it. We thank you for his sinless, righteous, and holy and precious blood that was shed and sacrificed on the cross for us, for your people, that we could be redeemed back to you, that we could be reconnected back to you as our Creator and our Heavenly Father. For this we give you glory, honor, and praise for our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, Jesus Christ, your only begotten beloved Son, in whom you said you're well pleased. So now, Heavenly Father, on tonight, we lift up all those that may be listening on the, for the first time on tonight, even those that may be tuned in that listen are regular listeners that may not know Jesus Christ, that may be spiritually blind. It's our hope and prayer and desire that your word will go forth through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as you use him through your Holy Spirit, that will touch their hearts and their minds, that they hear your word, that they all will be able to open their own mouth and confess their sins and transgressions, and ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them on tonight, that you will get the glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you will help us to decrease for tonight so that you may increase in us, that you alone will get the glory. Thank you for choosing and using us over this worldwide platform. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing me to be the overseer of this worldwide ministry and platform this July, now 8 years. And I thank you, Heavenly Father. We don't take it lightly or for granted. It is marvelous in our eyes, and we just give you the glory for it because there's nobody but you who has opened this door. And it's our prayer that you will continue to bless it and let it continue to grow as your word continue to manifest and go forth over this worldwide platform through each vessel that you use and send forth this way to deliver your word, even through every testimony, every song that's played, that you alone will get the glory, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Touch and heal and strengthen those that are faithfully tuned in and listen to this worldwide ministry and platform. And we ask that you will bless them, Heavenly Father, and grant them the desires of their hearts, is our prayer in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, our spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, never stop looking unto the hills where your help comes from. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, never stop looking unto the hills where your help comes from. I do not have any announcements on tonight, but right now I'm excited and happy to announce again that we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to be sharing another inspirational poem on tonight. And also, by the way, while we're discussing and talking about Deacon Marvin Cox, you want to tune in this coming Saturday night, July the 10th. We will be delivering another word from the Lord on this coming Saturday night, July the 10th. So are we going to get ready to yield the mic? I'm not going to do a music break song because lately we've been having technical difficulties, and I'm not going to take that chance on tonight. So we're just going to go ahead and yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown. First of all, I give an honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is at the head of my life. And I thank him for allowing you to look over my life and consider me worthy enough to bring forth his word. Now, each and every last one of us, something tonight that we could really work with. And the poem that I'm about to bring forth is Love Don't Take Vacation. And I explain that later, but it's really self-explanatory. Love don't take vacation. Love don't take vacations, and love don't sleep. Love don't make promises that love can't keep. Love has expectations that can easily be met. Love don't procrastinate, and love sure don't forget. Love builds character. Love is meek and mild. Love is forgiving, like the heart of a child. Love brings comfort to those who are in despair. Love will never say that I just don't care. Love is a healer. Love is a true friend. Love won't mistreat you, and love won't offend. Love is perfect in every single way. Have you been embraced by Jesus? Men will get tired and go to the train station. Now, aren't you glad that love don't take vacation? Love to always do better. Love in a lifetime together. Love is strong. Love is not weak. Love knows what your heart feels. Love is certain. Love is for sure. So, love is the protector. Love sees everything. Love will guide you through any situation. Aren't you glad that love won't take a vacation? Amen. Now, I'm going to immediately go into tonight's lesson. And by the way, after I read the scripture, I will give you the topic, but it's coinciding with the point that we mentioned. I'm coming from the book of St. James Version of the Bible, Deuteronomy 31st chapter, verses 6 through 8. And it reads, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of it. For the Lord thy God, it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And those according to Joshua said unto him and the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must with this people turn unto the land which the Lord has sworn to their father. thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, I'm going to read that same verse to you once again. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, who will be with thee, who will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This letter to you from Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verses 6 through 8. And God had a blessing to read and hear in the doing of his word and his will. And may he edify our souls forever. Amen. As I was telling you before I began to read the scriptures, that the ninth lesson is coinciding with the poem that love don't take vacation. And we were informed here by the writer that chilling that the Lord has abandoned them. But it started a long time ago. As a matter of fact, the Lord gave me this. This is just a continuation of let not your heart be troubled. And that's found in John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3, where the Lord is going to prepare a place for the disciples. And the disciples, because the presence of the Lord was no longer with them, because he said that he was going to prepare a place for them, they began to be worried, and they began to be fretful, and they began to feel that the Lord, now, just like we are today, just like we have been for the last year or so, last 14, 16, 18 months when this pandemic hit. So a lot of people, and our topic at that time a few weeks back, maybe a couple of months back, was a troubled heart. But see, the word started off, I said, let not your heart be troubled. But the message then was a troubled heart has many worries. And we look upon this worries, and we look upon this. See, this is a poem, and this is a song, and this is a lesson of reassurance. I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, this evening, that we should be encouraged instead of discouraged. I mean, if you look back on the activities of the last year, you would know. Let it say, like the Lord has been far away from us, because we have had many friends and relatives and loved ones and associates and many people that we don't know, that we are empathetic to, that have gone on to the other side, that have died. And we say, and I've heard people say, well, where is the Lord now? Why is the Lord allowing these things to happen? But I want you to know that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you, that the love don't take vacations. And I have a dear friend that has been hospitalized, and he doesn't know, or I'll put it this way, they don't know whether they're going to come. And I just want to encourage you and let you know that love don't take vacations. The Lord is right there with you. But sometimes when the physical presence, or sometimes he said in the word that his spirit will not strive with men at all times. So when that spirit is gone to take care of his father's business, for us, we have a feeling of loneliness. We have a feeling that we have been abandoned. If you look at the word abandon or forsake, forsake means to abandon, and that the Lord was, his life was oozing out of him on the cross. He cried out with a loud voice in Latin. He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have thou forsaken me? But see, this was a need-be thing, because if that had not have happened, if he had not went through that, we would not have had the opportunity to reconcile with God. And if we look at that word vacation, we know that a vacation is when you've taken time out from your busy schedule, from your hectic schedule, to go and get some me time, to refresh yourself, to sightsee, to leave all your cares and worries at that particular place. But see, love don't take vacations. Love don't sleep. And so I want all of you people right now that are going through some things, all of my brothers and sisters, didn't mean to say it, you people, but all of the people, because people sometimes get offended when you say you people. But I want all of God's people, and you all know who you are, to be encouraged, because love don't, and it will not take vacations. As we were going through the Deuteronomy, we found out that in Deuteronomy that Moses, who was encouraging Joshua to go, but then he told him in that 8th verse, "Don't you worry about it. Said, be of good courage." So I'm telling you, everybody that is going through right now, don't be fearful. Be of good courage. Don't allow the things that you're going through to overtake you, because one thing about the flesh will do everything that it can to get you to denounce God, to get you to question God, to get you to leave that gospel plow, to put it down, to look back. And because I know that there are a lot of Christians who say now to me and have said, "I had more when I was in the world. I had this. I had that." But see, what profiteth the man to gain the world but to lose his own soul? See, you might have had everything. You might have had a bigger house. You might have had a better job. You might have had more money in your pocket. But look at the things that you was doing to obtain those things. But see, the scripture that I just quoted to you is just simply telling you that all of those things mean nothing if you don't have the Lord. You have all of those things and you still got something missing in your life. Why? Because it's a void there. Why? Because your belly is not full. Why? Because you're motivated by the flesh. But see, love don't take vacations. Even when it seems that he is not close to us, even when it seems that he has went away for a little while, but the word tonight told me that he went before us. Just like over there in John 14 chapter verses 1 through 3 said, I go to prepare a place for you. And just like with our parents, when they go to work, their physical presence is not in the house with us, but all of their teachings and all of the Lord's spiritual teachings are still with us. When he goes, all the teachings, we got to rely upon those teachings that he have taught us. Brother Brown said in the word for today that, you know, continue to look to the hills for which come your help, because that's where your help is coming from. Don't feel forsaken. Don't feel abandoned, because the Lord is right there. And whatever is going through, whatever you're going through, has already been preordained since the foundation of the world. And I often say to myself that my illness, my muscular dystrophy, I do believe, I mean, I ain't got no better sense than to believe that the Lord put this on me, or he allowed this, let me put it that way, to happen to me so that he could get glory out of my condition. Whatever situation you're going through, if lifting up the Lord is constantly on the edge of your tongue, people are going to wonder, wow, that man is in pain. That woman is in pain. That woman just lost her husband. But she's still joyful. Why? Because love didn't take vacation on her. Amen. Love didn't take a siesta on her. Love did not abandon her. Her heart is full of love. And see, you can grieve for someone and still have love in your heart, because the Lord grieved for Lazarus. But it did not mean that he didn't love him. So we're going to go through these things, because he says that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. So love is not going to abandon you. Just go to his word. Just let him, allow him to comfort you during the middle of the night. Allow him to rock you to sleep. Allow him to take away that excruciating pain that you're going through, this unbearable feeling, this feeling of loneliness, this feeling of depression that we all as humans get, because these are designed, as I said, to make you denounce the Lord, to make you abandon him. Because a lot of times people say, Lord, why did you leave me? Not so. You left him. Because he was telling all of those warnings, all of those warnings that he gave each and every last one of us. Don't do this. Don't do that. This is not right. Because he told us and he warned us. When your calamities come upon you, I will look at you and laugh and what? Turn my face. In other words, a lot of things that happen is not God's will. He even says in his word, it's not my will that man must die.
That's right.
He didn't will it, but it was necessary. And we got the sooner we realize that death is a necessary part of life, then it will help us to understand that if you live right, death is no more than just an Uber drive to eternity.
Look out.
All it is, you know. You got to look at it like that, that you just in that Uber going to eternity. But that death is the transit point where we get together, or where God captures our attention. God, our soul, is, you know, goes back to him who gave us that soul.
Right.
So whatever you're going through, my brothers or my sisters, love, don't take vacations. Whatever illnesses, whatever family member is being contrary, remember to you, to me, to all of us, that it's just a temporary inconvenience. All the pain, the hardship, the hurt, the frustration that you're going through is just a temporary inconvenience. Because who wouldn't trade that so that they could live forever? Who wouldn't trade that so that they could be whole again? Who wouldn't trade that so that you can be reunited with loved ones on the other side? But see, we're living in the now. We're living in a point in time where nobody wants to suffer. We're living in a day and age where people are procrastinating. Think about what the Lord, what love did for us. Love didn't go on vacation. What if he was told, God, well, can I do it later? Can I come back and you know, because right now my mind and my body ain't ready for this beatdown that these people about to do to me. And a lot of times we leave and we go on vacation to refresh ourselves. But what about that love? What about those parents that we have that watch over us in the middle of the night, that come and tuck us in and make sure we have not kicked out from the covers? I know when I was coming up, it seemed like my dad never slept. Why? Because when I went to bed, he was woke. When I woke up, he was woke. So when the kids, man, I said, you never seen him take a nap during the day. I said, wow, my daddy, I told people that my daddy don't sleep. And almost got into a couple of fights, but I don't fight, but, you know, got into some heated discussion. Oh, yes, he do. I said, no, I ain't never seen him sleep. So we could say this about the Lord. I ain't never seen the Lord sleep, because they say he that keepeth Israel what? That brother just gave us one Psalms 121 to say he that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. So we don't think about it, because a lot of times that little time that you take that little nap, a lot can happen. You wake up and say, what? I dozed off. This happened. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord was asking the disciples to stay woke, he said, can you just stay woke for 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
But physically, they were tired. Physically, they were ran down. But just think about somebody that you know, if we're to use an expression, just think about that. And I'm not comparing the Lord to that, because this should be compared to the Lord. That energizer bunny that keeps going and going and going and going. The Lord, he constantly is looking out and working on our behalf. When he went to his father's house to prepare that place for us, he left us behind. But he said he won't leave us. But he went, I'll put it this way, the best way that I could put it is the way that God's word put it.
The 8th verse of the 31st chapter.
And this is what Moses is saying, that the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He does not go before thee. He goes before us. Guess what? He's not leaving us behind. He just wants ahead of us. Sometimes when we feel that we've been abandoned and we've been forsaken, it's all because our flesh is protesting against that which the Lord is going to prepare for. So let not your heart be troubled. Let not us get into the frame of mind we feel that the Lord has took a vacation on. And I say it's a lot of people that feel this way. I've talked to quite a few people over the last year, you know, going back and forth to the doctor and talking to people on the phone and everything, you know, encouraging people. And they were saying, they were wondering, you know, I wonder where the Lord is now. Why, you know, why this pandemic? But guess what? They had pandemics back in the days of the Egyptians, back in the days of Moses.
That's right.
If you look at the plagues, if you look at the things that happened to Pharaoh, the things that happened in Egypt, you know, with the frogs and the locusts and all of these things, have already happened. So
mm-hmm.
Love is not on vacation. But let me read to you what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 8. 2:10 said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always mm-hmm. bearing about in the body, the dying of the body, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, that's some deep scripture right there.
Mm-hmm.
So if the life of Jesus is transferred to your body, and see, that's why every now and then, you know, when we're in a service and tears get to rolling down our face or we see something and, you know, and it begins to make us joyous on the inside, not tears of sadness. I mean, you know, those of you who know when the Holy Ghost have touched you, you can't even describe that. You know, it's just like a Peter Paul mound. Or almond
mm-hmm.
joy is indescribably delicious.
Yeah.
You know that these feelings, as I say, they can't even be put into words. Why? Because it is so wonderful. It is so relaxing. And you just wish that feeling would never leave you, but instead always bearing about in the body.
In the body.
So that means that if you're bearing it in your body, then quite naturally, if you are close to somebody, sometimes we have what is known as sympathetic pains, whereas we care about somebody so much that we're saying like we're going through the same thing that they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're experiencing the same pain that they experience. And like when they get a headache, we got a headache too. But we care so much about them that guess what we say? And I know I've said this on many occasions. If it was possible but permissible, I wish that I could, you know, share some of that pain that you're going through to lessen your load.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think the Lord is doing it? Say that, bearing the body in the body. and all these things. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. So now is not the time for us to be distressed, my brothers and my sisters. We are perplexed, but not in despair. See, we're perplexed because it's so hard for us to figure out what's going on. We know that we've been reading about this, you know, tell us to make preparations for this day. But when the day get here, a lot of us, this pandemic caused a whole lot of us unprepared. And that's why we were perplexed. It said, persecuted, but not forsaken. You see, we persecuted because the world out there is not your friend.
That's right.
But not forsaken. We're not, you know, the Lord haven't abandoned us. All you got to do is go to that mirror. All you got to do is go to your Bible. All you got to do is go to your secret closet. You'll find out the Lord says that he will come in, and what would he do? He will come and he will sup with you.
Yeah.
So we don't go nowhere. But sometimes our flesh, because it demands so much attention, we feel that if we, that flesh is not catered to, some people say, you know, if you don't do this, you don't love me. If you don't do that, you don't love me. Because, see, right now, if you look at it, over the course of the last 16 to 18 months, a lot of our flesh has been demanding satisfaction. It has been demanding excitement. It has been demanding lust. But see, when they told us to stay at home, to quarantine, all of these things were withdrawn from us. And so our flesh was crying out. They were boycotting bars and sports arenas and all of these different places, these large social gathering places, these concert halls. Why? Because the body was protesting against spending time alone, some me time with the Lord. Right? That's something. Now, the Lord wants us to commune with him. But see, he wants us to commune when we got the right mindset, because he's not going to come in and commune with a filthy-minded person. He's not going to say his spirit would not dwell in an unclean temple. We wouldn't have time to clean ourselves up since he, as I put it, went ahead of us. He didn't leave you not for one minute. Because if you think about it, how many times have we, when we first had learned how to ride a bicycle and we thought that our parents had left us. But then we turn around and look, and guess what we do? We see them in the door, watching over us, ready to respond if we fall off that bike and injure ourselves. Or we fall, and the first thing we see is our mother, our dad, coming there to assist us, to help us, to get us back on our feet again. So love don't take vacations. Love is a healer. So if you don't go through what you're going through, then you say to yourself, Lord, I don't want to suffer for you. Love, you suffer for me, but I can't reciprocate with that. You know, and a lot of times we read and we hear and we compare ourselves and say, well, hey, I'm not Moses. I'm not Job. I'm not this person in the Bible. I'm not that person in the Bible. I could not have went through that. Now, could you imagine that? Now, how selfish are we? That all the things, even the golden rule said, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. The Bible says, no greater love than he that will lay down his life. I'm paraphrasing here, for a friend, and I'm going to add, or a brother or a friend. So look at the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. Look at the sacrifices that you have made on many occasions that went way 15 miles out of your way to take somebody. You seen a friend at the bus stop, and you were going two blocks over, but they was going way on the west side of town. And you took them way on the west side of town, and they didn't offer to say, okay, well, hey, I can give you my bus fare. Or they didn't even say, I thank you. Now, can you imagine how love felt with all the people that were healed, all the people that were blessed, didn't come back? There was only one out of 10 lepers said, Lord, love, I appreciate what you just did for me. Love, I'm glad that you didn't go on vacation. I'm glad that you was here. So I'm just telling all of my brothers and my sisters during this crucial time in our life, when it said, like, you know, when it says spiritual wickedness in high places and municipalities and all these things, and, you know, parents against parents and, you know, children killing parents and all this. I mean, all of this is just Bible prophecy. So
right.
We just have to get more in tune with that love, because he told us, and I don't have no better sense than to believe what he said. He told Joshua, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, how they say a lot of times, I'm not going to leave you hanging. Now we're going to go, okay, to Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 35-39. And this is Brother Paul speaking. Then who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors in him that us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things above, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's kind of awful, right there. So it's saying that love, it ain't take no vacation. You know, you go sometimes, you go to a business, one of your favorite businesses that you know, that you frequent. And one sign that we don't like, and that's out to lunch. And I got to come back. How many times have somebody looked to the Lord, and he said, out to lunch, or gone fishing? The other side will be gone fishing because you're out there fishing for fish. And your need at that particular time was not as, I'm not going to say it was not as great, but it could have been taken care of later. So love don't take vacation. Jesus is always there. He's just one prayer away. My suggestion to you this night is that we pray, that we establish that understanding, that we establish that contact with him to the extent that when we need him, you know, I know in the Baptist church, many days we're in the song of the song. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Yeah. Call him up. Tell him what you want. And then another verse down there says his line is never busy.
Never busy.
Now, can you imagine that? Somebody that you got access to, somebody that you can call, somebody that is there to meet your needs. Now, if you had the frustration even now of paying a bill, you don't talk to people no more. And then I know I had the displeasure a couple of weeks ago of calling concerning the flood that we had in Michigan, calling, and they put me on hold. For they said that I was calling number 123, and then I was on the phone for about an hour and a half, and then the phone got tired and just hung up on me. I just think if the Lord had you on the waiting list,
Lord,
he could meet your needs. I mean, just imagine if your number is 1,253,644.5. That right there will frustrate you to no end. That will make you lose hope. Well, I know, and we say this, that he ain't going to never get to me. Might well be on vacation. But that's not the case. We have to look into this with a positive mind. We have to say that what I'm going through, Lord, like the Lord said to his father, not my will, but your will, because that flesh is going to get tired. Your flesh is going to get frustrated. Your flesh is going to protest. Your flesh is going to say, Lord, why me? Why do I have to go through this? But I'm still speaking to guests here, but I think the greater your suffering, the greater your reward, even though our reward is going to be the same. You know how you go through something, then finally you get that breakthrough and the jubilation that you experience. You might say to yourself, man, that was really worth all that time. I was about ready to give up.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Lord shows through for you, I mean, and I know, you know, that we all have been at that point in our life where frustration was about to overtake us, and then we're about ready to give up or throw in the towel. But then it's that last hour, that self-same hour, that we felt that we couldn't take no more. That's what the Lord showed through. Imagine 40 days in the wilderness, fasting without food or drink. And then this individual, which we're not going to give no glory to, comes and, you know, offer him something, just like with us. We might go through some things and say, no, I got faith. I'm going to wait on the Lord. But then that loan shark come or that credit card come, and then we become a proof to that credit card. Say, hey, you need some money? Hey, we'll give you a credit card with 200% interest. And you're obligated to that for the rest of your life. But the Lord was just on the way. But we just didn't have the time. We didn't have the patience. And guess what? You did without it for that amount of time. But that flesh will fool you like that sometimes. That flesh will tell you that love is on vacation. Love don't care nothing about you. Love has abandoned you. Lord has, love has forsaken you. And I'm interchanging the word love and Lord because Jesus is love.
Yes, he is.
So you might say, wow, this gentleman is confused. But when I say love, I'm speaking about the Lord. When I say Lord, I'm speaking about love.
Mm-hmm.
So how many times have we felt that? I know when we have been sick and we pray to the Lord, say, Lord, where you at? Lord, could you relieve some of this pain and this frustration that I'm going through? Lord, I still believe in you. Because, see, it's easy to believe and trust in the Lord with a full belly.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that when prosperity, you know, if you look at Job, wife, when prosperity on other day, I could just see that woman now celebrate. Oh, man, they ain't got, can you imagine us saying, whoa, we just got some more livestock. Ain't God good? We just got, hey, we're going to have to tear this down, this house, and build up another house. Ain't God good? Lord just blessed us with another kid. Ain't God good? But then as soon as adversity, see, we go from prosperity to adversity, but as soon as adversity comes, amen. You know, I don't want to see yourself, and you know what I think? Your best way out is to just cuss God and die. Denounce. That's the same thing that Satan told the Lord. Hey, you know, bow down. You know, dash a rock, break this food into bread. But see, if it really came out the flesh then his purpose would not have been fulfilled to reconcile us with God.
That's right.
So sometimes we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's always darkest before the storm. And we think when this storm comes, and when this storm is overhead, and when this storm is raging, as Ms. Brown used to tell James, Brother James, y'all better sit still and let the Lord do his work.
Amen. That's right.
Don't be saying, sit still and let the Lord do his work. Let the Lord go ahead of you. and prepare and be strong and of good courage. Don't allow these adversities of the world to make you feel or even make you do it in any kind of way or give anybody indication you feel that the Lord has forsaken you, that the Lord has left you, that the Lord has abandoned you, that the Lord don't care nothing about you. Au contraire, mon frère, the Lord loves you.
Yes, Lord.
And sometimes when our children, I see, sometimes when the remedy is not, you know, we have to take them and gently rock them and gently reassure them that, once again, that this is just a temporary inconvenience. That these things, you know, I think the songwriter said that trouble don't last always.
Always. Without now.
So if you don't want to suffer for the Lord, because he's going to get, you know, he's going to get the honor and the glory out of all your suffering.
Oh,
Brother
yeah.
Brown, you know, you got a story to tell, but I'll let him tell it for you. That brother, that brother has been through some adversity in his life. And
yes, Lord.
He could be a role model. If he sat down and just explained to you, you know, some of the health issues that he had, some of the rejection that he may have had from family members and so forth and on, and some of the frustration that he had and trying to get a house and this and that and all this old kind of stuff. But guess what? The Lord's still through for him.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So we got to look at this vacation that love do not take. It's for our benefit. Lord, don't.
Amen.
So
Lord.
I thank you because God is good.
Yes, he is.
He's very good. So as I was telling you earlier, this was just a reassuring message. But just to let people know that in your darkest hour, that the Lord is there. But if you're going to go and fit into the grand scheme of things, he said in his word, the lame will always be here, that the deaf, the dumb, and so forth and on will always be here. But God, that's all I got to say, but God.
But
see, these things right here is just a temporary thing. Sometimes, I know when a woman is pregnant, they say that childbirth is probably one of the most painful and excruciating things. Because the Lord said that, you know, he would bruise, that we would bruise his head and he would bruise our heels. He said that it would increase that woman's pain.
That's right.
But it's the most probably painful but exhilarating. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron right there. Well, it's painful but exhilarating at the same time. But just think that the Lord used that woman, used my mother as a vessel to bring little old contrary me here. So I'm just here to let you know that it's just a temporary thing. Hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. Because love hasn't taken a vacation. And it's just a matter of time. So that's the message tonight. Love don't take vacation. Just hold on.
Yes.
I know it seems difficult right now, but just hold on because love went ahead of you. We're going to put it like that. Love just went ahead of you to make sure that your provisions in that father's house, in the father's house, he wants to prepare a place for you. You know how sometimes it seems like when you sleep in the bed that's made up, oh, that's one of the most comfortable sleep. But you sleep in an unmade bed, you might say, dog, I couldn't sleep at all last night. You woke up. Why? Because you were sleeping on your own shoe. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. Remember, love don't take vacations. And now I now turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Tonight, I thank God. I, too, like Deacon Marvin Cox, and like you, my sister, and you, my brother, who's standing on the promises of God. We are so grateful that, and I love how you put it, because it's so true that Jesus is love. God is love. They're one and the same. But they're three in one. You're talking about God the Father. Then you have Jesus the Son. And you have the Holy Spirit. They're all one. So we thank God that his love don't take vacation. I am so grateful to God that he don't take vacation. He's not like man. We don't have to take a vacation. I'm too grateful tonight that love, the love of God, don't take vacation. Word of God that has been a blessing and helpful to someone on tonight over this worldwide ministry and platform. This word tonight has been a blessing and a help for somebody who needed to hear this word on tonight. And not only that, they're going to turn around and they're going to share it with someone else, that God is going to be even more glorified because we have received this word on tonight, knowing that the love of God don't take vacations, and that way we can share it with others. They may be depressed or downtrodden, or maybe feel like throwing in the towel or giving up, or maybe doubting or have fear in their hearts or their minds. They need to know that love, the love of God, don't take vacation. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Coxman tonight. And don't forget, listeners, that Deacon Marvin Coxman will be bringing another word on this coming Saturday night, July the 10th. So you want to tune in and be blessed by another word from the Lord through Deacon Marvin Cox. We're going to get ready to close out on tonight in prayer. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pray with me. Once again, we want to continue to lift up the families of all those people that have lost their lives down in Surfside, Florida, due to collapse of the condominium. Still looking for bodies now. So we want to continue to lift up those families that are still waiting for their loved ones to be recovered from that collapse. And then we also want to continue to lift up the family of the president of Haiti who was assassinated the day before yesterday. And then we want to continue to lift up his wife who is in the hospital in Miami, Florida. We want to continue to lift her up. And not only them, but all those that have loved ones that are sick and afflicted. You may be sick and afflicted in your mind, spirit, or body yourself. You may know someone that's sick and afflicted. We want to continue to encourage one another in the word of God. We want to continue to pray you one for another. The word of God says that the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So we want to always stand in the gap and touch and agree on one accord in prayer for each other. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word gives us direction. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word is truth. See that you are love. And we thank you that your love never dies. Your love never fails. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people. So we thank you for your word that lets us know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank you that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And Father, we just love you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you that the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. So now, Lord, we continue to lift you up because you are worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, no matter what the enemy tried to tell us or what he tried to make us think. We know that you are in total control, and for this we are grateful in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we pray and ask that you are moved by your spirit, continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the listeners that tune in on tonight for the first time. Grant them all the desires of their hearts with our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again on tonight, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until this coming Saturday night, you're going to be ready to receive another word from Deacon Marvin Cox. Until then, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.